Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम के शिल प्रभुपाद के गौर भक्त वृंद के गौर प्रेमानंदी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naranjayanava Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudiraye Nasta Prayesho Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Tata Rajastamo Bhavakamalo Bhadayaschaye Chetai tairana vidam sitvam satve prasidati. Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 10th chapter, text 30 through 50. 50 is on the board. So we'll chant 50 first. Agrahid. Asanam Bratra Pranipatya Prasaditaha Prajaha Svadharma Nirata Varnashrama Gunanvitaha Jugopa Pitrivat Ramo Menire Pitaram cha tam agrahedasanam bratra pranipatya prasadita prajasvadharma nirata varnashrama gunanvita Jugopa Pitrivadramo Menire Pitaram Chatam Agrahedasanam Bratra Ladies, Agrahidasanam Bratra Pranipatya Prasadita Prajasvadharma Nirata Varnashrama Gunanvita Jugopa Pitrivadramo Nire Pitaram Chatam Agrahit Accepted Asanam The throne of the state Bratra By his brother Bharat Pranipatya After fully surrendering unto him Prasaditaha, having been pleased Prajaha, and the citizens, Swadharma Nirata, fully engaged in their respective occupational duties, Varnashrama, according to the system of Varnanashrama, Gunanvitaha, all of them being qualified in that process. Jugopa, the Lord protected them. Pitrivat, exactly like a father. Ramaha, Lord Ramachandra. Menire, they considered. Pitaram, exactly like a father. Cha, also. Tam, him, Lord Ramachandra. Om Magyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim, yat kripadamaham vande sri guru dinotaranam, paramananda maravam, sichitanyeshwaram, vanchakalpatarubhyascha, kripasunduvyevacha, Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. So the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Sorry we chanted a little less Sanskrit because we have 20 verses to speak on today. 21, yes, thank you. So, and we'll shortly comment on the verses preceding this one, and then hear Prabhupada's purport to this one. So we're starting with text 30. Thereafter, Lord Ramachandra found Sita Devi sitting in a small cottage beneath a tree named Shingshapa in a forest of Ashoka trees. She was lean and thin, being aggrieved because of separation from him. Seeing his wife in that condition, Lord Ramachandra was very compassionate. When Ramachandra came before her, she was exceedingly happy to see her beloved, and her lotus-like mouth showed her joy. After giving Vibhishan the power to rule the Rakshasa population of Lanka for the duration of one kalpa, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, placed Sita Devi on an airplane decorated with flowers and then got on the plane himself. The period for his living in the forest having ended, the Lord returned to Ayodhya, accompanied by Hanuman, Sugriva, and his brother Lakshman. One of my mentors just a few days ago mentioned, a good teacher wants his students to remember one point. So if you can remember one point from this class, that would be good. The topic, the theme of today's class is detached leadership. And Lord Ramachandra exemplifies this. But we're going to start and finish with a book distribution story, since the marathon is still going on, and in honor of the troops who are out there as we speak, we root for them and we support our troops. A few weeks ago, I was in San Francisco in Haight-Ashbury, and I met one 70-year-old gentleman, and he looked at the book and he pointed at Prabhupada's picture and he said, I met this man in New York in the late 60s. You see, that's the good thing of going out on book distribution in Haight-Ashbury. You meet people every week who met Prabhupada. It's quite inspiring. And he said, you know, it was perfect. I went to the storefront, and the devotees, they brought me up to his room. Like, first time he walked in the door, they brought him up to Prabhupada's room. And I sat down next to the man. And for 40 minutes, I was sitting there, and he was sitting at his desk doing something, and he wasn't saying a word, and I wasn't saying a word. And it was perfect. And after 40 minutes, I had understood everything, and he had someone give me some food, and I walked away. And it was the perfect encounter. It took him 50 years till he could hear Prabhupada, till he got a book in Haight-Ashbury. If we are not eager to hear, if we don't have hunger, if we don't have a need, if we don't have appetite, we will never hear, even though we're in Mayapur, even though we have the books at home. But if we don't have eagerness to hear and appetite and we feel a need in our heart to hear from Prabhupada, we will never hear his message. So Prabhupada distributed that book to him. It just took him 50 years to actually appreciate it. When Vibhishan descended from the sky, because he's a Rakshasa, they can fly in the sky, there was different responses amongst Lord Ram's camp. Some said, kill him, he's Ram's brother, kill him immediately, he's a spy. Others said, he came here, he doesn't have any weapons, he doesn't seem too hostile, let's check him out, just keep him around for a while. Others were saying, he can't be trusted. And Lord Ram's response was, you're seeing it all from his perspective and from your perspective. Why don't you see it from my perspective? And then he gave that beautiful verse, which this morning Shyamananda Prabhu told me, and I felt ecstasy in my heart. That's why we go to the temple, because when we meet the devotees of the Lord, you feel ecstasy in your heart. It already happened four times this morning. That beautiful verse from the Ramayana, which is the Parivasa Sutra, I'm sure some of you memorized it, where Lord Ram says, if somebody once surrenders to me and says, I'm yours, I will take care of that person forever. Somebody knows the Sanskrit of that shloka? Prapannam is there, yes, Prapannam is there. Yes, beautiful verse. It was quoted a few days ago in Bhagavatam class. When Vibhishan descended from the sky, Lord Ram addressed him as Lanka Ishwar. He said, you are the Ishwara of Lanka. And somebody questioned him, but you just said now, if somebody once surrenders to you forever, you'll take care of him and protect him. What if Ravan comes now and says, okay, I'll surrender to you? You already gave Lanka to Vibhishan. What would you give Ravan? He said, I'll give him Ayodhya. And what about Bharat? I'll give him the eternal Ayodhya in the spiritual sky. And what about you? I don't need anything. I'm fine. A leader is not insecure. A person who is worried about where his rice and sabji comes from cannot be a leader. A leader cannot be insecure. He has to be ready to give himself and to serve and sacrifice in a detached way. Srila Prabhupada gave us this example of detached leadership. When he started this ISKCON movement in India, initially, he had the plan of having Mumbai as its headquarters and everything was centralized. But very shortly after that, He changed the plan and he said, no, every center has to be individually registered and they have to run their own affairs. It'll be a little more work, a little more trouble, but we have to be decentralized. Otherwise, the whole thing can be killed and finished. So you have to decentralize everything. So I'm just picking up on this point here that Vibhishan ruled Lanka for the duration of one kalpa. That's for a very long time. So Ram did never intend on ruling Lanka. He knew that's Vibhishan's job. That's why he addressed him as Lankeshwara, as the ruler of Lanka. And he was ready to give Ravan Ayodhya, and he was ready to give Bharat the eternal Ayodhya in the spiritual sky. But before I get too carried away, we got 20 verses to cover here. So I also heard from one mentor that service is more important than ecstasy. So sometimes you have to suppress your emotions to carry on with service. Oh, Sugriva is mentioned here. Yes. So anyway, we get back to that. When Lord Ramachandra returned to his capital Ayodhya, he was greeted on the royal throne by the princely order who showered his body with beautiful fragrant flowers, while great personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods glorified the activities of the Lord in great jubilation. Text 34. Upon reaching Ayodhya, Lord Ramachandra heard that in his absence his brother Bharat was eating barley cooked in the urine of a cow, covering his body with the bark of a tree, wearing matted locks of hair, and lying on a mattress of kusha. The most merciful Lord very much lamented this. It is stated that before meeting Bharat, he sent Hanuman there. He sent to check him out, to see what his brother was up to. And he said, if he's just a slight bit, just a trace, if you just see a trace of attachment in him, please let me know. Can you get this a little closer? Thank you. Thank you. So Ram had Hanuman go and see how his brother was doing. And if he was feeling any type of attachment to ruling the kingdom, then he was ready to let Bharat be the king. Because when he went into the forest, he was fully aware that his brother Bharat is capable of ruling the kingdom. Now when he heard that Bharat had set up camp, not in Ayodhya, he was not sitting on the throne, but he was in Nandigram. It says here, Camp Nandigram, later on. He was in Camp Nandigram, and he established his office there, and from there he was ruling. But he was keeping Lord Ram's shoes on the throne. Then Ram was very much pleased and he was very happy, and he saw that his brother was just waiting for his return. So he was practicing severe austerities all these 14 years in the absence of his brother, just being the custodian and taking care of things. When Lord Bharat understood that Lord Ramachandra was returning to the capital Ayodhya, he immediately took upon his head Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes and came out from his camp at Nandigram. It's interesting, Prabhupada, whenever he wrote letters, he would write on the top, Camp Los Angeles, Camp Mumbai. Camp is a military term. It specifies where your location is right now. All the letters of Prabhupada, it says camp. So Prabhupada was always in this mood. I'm out on a mission. I'm out on this mission to spread Krishna consciousness. Lord Bard was accompanied by ministers, priests, and other respectable citizens, professional musicians vibrating pleasing musical sounds, and by learned Brahmins loudly chanting Vedic hymns. Following in the procession were chariots drawn by beautiful horses with harnesses of golden rope. These chariots were decorated by flags with golden embroidery and by other flags of various sizes and patterns. There were soldiers bedecked with golden armor, servants bearing betel nut, and many well-known and beautiful prostitutes. Many servants followed on foot, bearing an umbrella, whisks, different grades of precious jewels, and other paraphernalia befitting a royal reception. Accompanied in this way, Lord Bharat, his heart softened in ecstasy, and his eyes full of tears, approached Lord Ramachandra and fell at his lotus feet with great ecstatic love. After offering the wooden shoes before Lord Ramachandra, Lord Bharat stood with folded hands, his eyes full of tears, and Lord Ramachandra bathed Bharat with tears while embracing him with both arms for a long time. Accompanied by Mother Sita and Lakshman, Lord Ramachandra then offered his respectful obeisances unto the learned Brahmins and the elderly persons in the family and all the citizens of Ayodhya. Offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. The citizens of Ayodhya, upon seeing their king return after a long absence, offered him flower garlands, waved their upper cloths, and danced in great jubilation. O king, Lord Bharat carried Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes. Sugriva and Vibhishan carried a whisk and an excellent fan. Hanuman carried a wide umbrella. Shatrughna carried a bow and two quivers. And Sita Devi carried a water pot filled with water from holy places. Angada carried a sword. And Jambavan, king of the rikshas, carried a golden shield. O king Parikshit, as the Lord sat on his airplane of flowers, with women offering him prayers, and reciters chanting about his characteristics, he appeared like the moon with the stars and planets. Thereafter, having been welcomed by his brother Bharat, Lord Ramachandra entered the city of Ayodhya in the midst of a festival. When he entered the palace, he offered obeisances to all the mothers, including Kaikeyi. Now that's pretty interesting. He was just in Vanavas for 14 years. Because of whom? Kaikeyi. When he comes back, he offers his respects to Kaikeyi. He doesn't walk in and say, "Hey, you remember me? I'm back now. It's payback time." No. He walked in and he offered his obeisances to Kaikeyi as one of his mothers. When seniors commit mistakes, then juniors who are cultured, they tolerate and they offer their respects. In this way, the culture is preserved. So Lord Ramachandra is showing here by his own example how, what is the proper course of conduct. So he offered his obeisances to all the mothers, including Kaikeyi and the other wives of Maharaj Dasarath, and especially his own mother, Kaushalya. He also offered obeisances to the spiritual preceptors, such as Vasishta. Friends of his own age and younger friends worshipped him, and he returned their respectful obeisances, as did Lakshman and Mother Sita. In this way, they all entered the palace. 47. Upon seeing their sons, the mothers of Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna immediately arose, like unconscious bodies returning to consciousness. The mothers placed their sons on their laps and bathed them with tears, thus relieving themselves of the grief of long separation. The family priest or spiritual master, Vasishta, had Lord Ramachandra cleanly shaved, freeing him from his matted locks of hair. Then, with the cooperation of the elderly members of the family, he performed the bathing ceremony, Abhisheka, for Lord Ramachandra with the water of the four seas and with other substances, just as it was performed for King Indra. 49. Lord Ramachandra, fully bathed and his head clean shaven, dressed himself very nicely and was decorated with a garland and ornaments. Thus he shone brightly, surrounded by his brothers and wife, who were similarly dressed and ornamented. So he didn't ascend into this assembly by himself, but he came with his brothers, with his wife, together as a team. It's also a very exemplary point that a leader wins with his team. He does not do so alone. And today's text, text 50, being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Bharat, Lord Ramachandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father, and the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of Varnan Ashrama, accepted him as their father. Purport. This is Srila Prabhupada's purport. People are very fond of the pattern of Ram Raja, and even today politicians sometimes form a party called Ram Raja. But unfortunately, they have no obedience to Lord Ram. It is sometimes said that people want the kingdom of God without God. Such an aspiration, however, is never to be fulfilled. Good government can exist when the relationship between the citizens and the government is like that exemplified by Lord Ramachandra and his citizens. Lord Ramachandra ruled his kingdom exactly as a father takes care of his children, and the citizens, being obliged to the good government of Lord Ramachandra, accept the Lord as their father. Thus, the relationship between the citizens and the government should be exactly like that of father and son. How is the sound back there? Is it too loud or is it audible? It's okay. When the sons in a family are well trained, they are obedient to the father and mother. And when the father is well qualified, he takes good care of the children. As indicated here by the words, Svadharma nirata, varnashrama gunanvita. The people were good citizens because they accepted the institution of Varna and Ashram, which arranges society in the Varna divisions of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and the Ashram divisions of Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. This is actual human civilization. People must be trained according to the different Varnashram occupational duties, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.13. Chaturvarnyam maya sristam guna karma vibhagasha. The four varnas must be established according to varying qualities and work. The first principle for good government is that it must institute this varnashram system. The purpose of varnashram is to enable people to become God conscious. Varnashram acharavata purusheena parakpuman vishnu raradyate. The entire varnashram scheme is intended to enable people to become Vaishnavs. Vishnur asya devata. When people worship Lord Vishnu as a Supreme Lord, they become Vaishnavs. Thus, people should be trained to become Vaishnavs through the system of Varna and Ashram, as they were during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, when everyone was fully trained to follow the Varnashram principles. Simply enforcing laws and ordinances cannot make the citizens obedient and lawful. That is impossible. Throughout the entire world, there are so many states, legislative assemblies, and parliaments. But still, the citizens are rogues and thieves. Good citizenship, therefore, cannot be enforced. The citizens must be trained, as there are schools and colleges to train students to become chemical engineers, lawyers, or specialists in many other departments of knowledge. There must be schools and colleges to train students to become Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis. This will provide the preliminary condition for good citizenship. Varnashrama gunanvita. Generally speaking, if the king or president is a Rajarshi, the relationship between the citizens and the chief executive will be clear, and there will be no possibilities of disruption in the state, because the number of thieves and rogues will decrease. In Kali Yuga, however, because the Varnashram system is neglected, people are generally thieves and rogues. In the system of democracy, such thieves and rogues naturally collect money from other thieves and rogues. And thus there is chaos in every government, and no one is happy. But here the example of good government is to be found in the reign of Lord Ramachandra. If people follow this example, there will be good government all over the world. Srila Prabhupada ki. This purport Srila Prabhupada stresses how we can achieve Krishna consciousness through following Varnashram Dharma, following Varnashram culture. And he gives examples here of what it means practically. Varnashram is a big topic, and it has been discussed and elaborated upon. Basically, it is the Lord's system, how he scientifically divided society into four varnas and four ashramas, for giving people the wherewithal to have a place of security. Unless a person is secure, they will do very strange things. If a person is not sure of their position, of their identity, and of their duty in life, they will be confused and they will do strange things. Have you ever seen people do strange things? Have you ever done strange things in your own life because of a lack of sense of security, identity, and guidance? So this Krishna consciousness movement is established by Srila Prabhupada to give us a clear sense of identity, of duties, and purpose. Lord Ramachandra exemplifies this by retaining the responsibility. Responsibility means the ability to respond properly. He retained the responsibility, but he delegated authority. He was happy that Bharat was ruling the kingdom in his absence for 14 years. Because the goal of the whole government is to make sure that the citizens are happy. If the citizens are not happy, then what is the point of government? There is no point in government if the citizens are not happy. So, he made sure that good government was in place, and that meant that people were being taken care of. Now, in Varnashram culture, a boy of 5 years of age would go to the Gurukul. And in the Gurukul, he would live with his guru and his guru mata, the wife of the guru, or guru patni. And by doing so, after 5 or 7 years, at the age of 10 or 12, they could ascertain the qualities, the character, the behavior, the nature of the child. And they could guide him to then go into Varnashram College. What comes after the age of 10 or 12 is Varnashram College, where he would be trained according to his propensity and nature in order to become a satisfied, stable, and contributing citizen. That was possible because the guru would observe the student and see what is the behavior, what is the character, what is the natural proclivity. I mean, within 5 or 7 years, you can figure out who is who, right? But nowadays, we have a different scenario. People may see their guru once every 5 or 7 years. And so it's very difficult to ascertain the nature. And also, we are a very young movement. So people in many places are still acting under the rule of just do the needful. Never mind what your nature and what your situation is. Just do the needful, Prabhu. But how long can you do that? How long can you do that? A month? A year? A decade? A lifetime? Very few can do that for a prolonged period of time. After some time, people will start getting uncomfortable, insecure, and start doing weird things. And we have seen it happen. We may even have done it ourselves. That's why, yes, we will have hundreds or thousands of Grihastha gurus who will each mentor a few disciples or a few couples in their location, and they will guide them in how to be secure, in how to be engaged according to their propensities in Krishna's service. But we're not there yet. We're still in the transitional phase from between doing the needful to where we are hopefully going in the near or in the not so near future, depending on how we act and how we play it. So the focus here is Lord Ram, and he is exemplifying perfect leadership. He is the perfect king. He could have taken so many other wives. Oh, okay, this one got lost. All right. Bad luck. Tough deal. Second time around will be better. Huh? Okay, no polygamy, but we can have serial monogamy. You know serial monogamy? Just, you know, consequential, just one after the other. No, he made a vow, and he instigated this entire war to get Sita Devi back, to liberate her from the clutches of Ravan. So Ravan, he represents evil. He represents greed, envy, lust, all the bad qualities. And Ravan had to be exterminated. Ram told Vibhishan, you got to be careful. Don't fall into the trap of this Ravana mentality. You're of the same stock, of the same family. Don't fall into this mentality. You have to develop the godly, the spiritual qualities. In this way, you will be able to guide your citizens, and Lanka can become a prosperous and spiritual abode. But if you don't be mindful of that, you will fall back into your conditioned nature. And again, it will become Ravana consciousness. There are two characters I'd like to bring up. One was already mentioned in previous days. Yesterday we heard about gossip and how to avoid it. Now another interesting point in regards to gossip and bad news or fake news is that when he came to Nandigram and he saw his brother Bharat, Bharat did not tell him that Dasarath had died. Because bad news are not supposed to be disclosed. They're not supposed to be spoken, they're not supposed to be communicated. What to speak of fake news? What to speak of prajalpa, or gossip? So, Bharat did not tell him. After 14 years of absence, imagine, Ram comes back and the first thing his brother tells him, your dad died. When did he die? Well, 14 years ago when he went to the forest. That would be very terrible, right? So he didn't do that. So he kept quiet. But people are insecure. They're very fond of spreading fake news, bad news, or gossip. Just like Mantara, who was chewing on Kaikeyi's ear and was putting all this vicious talk into her head that if Ram becomes the king, Bharat will be killed, you'll be exiled, you won't get anything, you'll be left thrown out on the street. And after hearing it for long enough, she started believing it. So this tendency of mantra is there in the conditioned soul. That something in you tells you all this kind of talk. But when we follow the directive of Lord Ram and we follow the directives of the Bhagavatam, then we can root out that ignorance. We can root out that illusion. We can get rid of that confusion. There's another personality. His name is Sumantara. There is Mantara and Sumantara. You know who Sumantara was? He was the chariot driver. He was Dasharath's chariot driver, and later on he was Ram's chariot driver. He was one of the eight ministers of Ram. He was a minister. He sat in parliament. He was there. He was known to be the most communicative, who could communicate between all the eight ministers and bring them together to a consensus. That was his capacity. Quite a unique skill nowadays, if you can bring people together and bring consensus amongst powerful personalities. That was Sumantara. There was also, besides the eight ministers who were from different varnas, there was also the two intellectuals, Vasishta and Vamadev, thank you. Vamadev and Vishwamitra. Was it Vishwamitra or Vasishta? Vasishta, yes, thank you. So Vasishta and Vamadev, they were the intellectuals. They were advisors. No, they didn't get involved in execution. Eight executive ministers, two advisors. So Sumantara was always there, not only as a chariot driver, but as an advisor and as a minister. So we have these different personalities that are available to us. We may think, oh, Ramayan. Have you heard Ramayan before? Who here has heard Ramayan before? Who has seen Ramayan before? Okay, so you know it. So why you're sitting here in class, right? How does this apply to me? What's the take-home message? How can I imbibe some of these qualities? How can I not fall prey to mantra? And how can I take the good advice of Sumantara? That is the question. Lord Ram was not insecure. He was fully aware of his own position and of his contribution. He retained responsibility, but he delegated authority. That is a leader. An insecure person, he retains authority and he delegates responsibility. Makes other people responsible. But they want to keep the authority. They want to stay in charge. Ram was always available and accessible. Always. His door was always open. A person who does not pick up his phone, who does not answer emails, and who does not respond to people's distress should not be in leadership position. Because they're not capable of being in leadership position. Lord Ram had the policy that every day there was time when general citizens could come and meet him. Just like Prabhupada, he had the same policy. His room was open, at least for 2 hours, wherever he was. People could walk into his room, just sit down, and just talk to him. So one time, they went out, and nobody was there, but there was a dog. You know the story of the dog? They brought the dog in. Okay, what do you want? And the dog, you know, I can't come in, you know, I'm a dog, you know. They said, no, it's okay, you know, it's Ram, it's all right. So he said, this Brahmin, he kicked me, you know, he beat me severely. Look, I'm bleeding. I came to, there's a complaint here. So they got the Brahmin. Why? Why did you do that? He said, you know, I was going to the temple to do my puja, and this dog crossed my path. He almost touched me, you know, so I kicked him. I'm a Brahmin, I'm serving the Lord. It's okay, he's severely injured. What should be the punishment? Everybody was puzzled. What should be the punishment? So let's ask the dog. You know, the dog can speak, so maybe the dog knows. So the dog, I want him to become the chief Mahant. I want him to become in charge, the GBC of that temple. And they said, what? What do you mean? I mean, you're giving him highly elevated post. Why are you doing that? He said, no, I want that. That's what I want. Why? You know, formerly, I was the Mahant of that temple. So a leader not only earns the sukriti, the pious credit, he also gets the reactions when people in his team or in his kingdom or in his locality commit mistakes or aparad. So, how to overcome insecurity? I remember one point in time, I was community chairman in Mayapur in 2006 and 7, when I was living here with my family. And even though we had no office, there was a virtual secretary and a phone number with 500 rupee credit line. And that was the community office then. And after 2 years of doing the service, I brought in different people that I felt were helpful. Gauranga Singha, and brought a few others back, and also Vaikuntha Nithai. And then when I saw that it was not conducive to continue in that position, Vaikuntha Nithai became the chairman, and something inside me said, I don't like this. I said, why you don't like this? You know, there's nothing. There's nothing there. There's no office. It's just... But then I saw that he's much more capable, much more qualified, and he's from the right gotra, and he can do the service properly. So I supported him, and he took it to a whole other level. He really made it flourish. So whenever that insecurity comes up in our mind that, what about me? I should be doing this. I should be doing this forever. Like, have you ever heard the saying, this position is for life? Have you ever heard this? But how can you do something for life? How to understand this properly? How to retain responsibility and delegate authority? We have to read the Bhagavatam. Then we will figure out how it works. One of the examples that struck me was Mukunda Maharaj. He brought Anuttama in. He trained him. Anuttama became the minister of communication. He made him a GBC. And then he went out and became an advisor, a guide, and just a saintly sadhu, which he still is to this day. Very much respected, appreciated, and very much in the service of the movement. We have seen very few honorable discharges in our movement from many positions. Why? Because if we get attached to our position, then we think it is for life. I have to stay in office. But that is not the example that we see here in the Bhagavatam. That is not the example of Lord Ramachandra. The example is, you get trained, Varnashram College, you get trained on the job, then you do your stretch, you serve your term, or maybe two terms, if you're lucky. And then you don't change the laws and stick around and call yourself something else and still manipulate and control from behind. But then you empower the next generation, the next level of people, to carry the light forward. And you become an advisor, a detached leader. How powerful is that? Do you feel the empowerment of Lord Ramachandra? Why he's so loved, why he's so respected? Because he's a detached leader. We need many detached leaders in this international society for Krishna consciousness. We need thousands of spiritual masters, mentors, guides. The world is a big place. There's 8 billion people out there. We may have not even 100 here in the room and 200-300 online. There's 8 billion people on the planet. How is this movement going to actually create that revolution and transform people's lives and be the spiritual guides for 8 billion people? How are you going to do that? It's a big task. It's a big mission. We have to be reminded of our mission at least every 21 days. That's what people say in the real world. But Prabhupada is reminding us every day. Sugriva got a little carried away. After his brother Vali was killed, he started to live the good life and become a little relaxed, till people came knocking on his cave and said, "Hey, remember? There is a mission. Remember, you made a promise. Remember, you had a task to carry out." So we should not be upset when Prabhupada reminds us of our mission, or when other devotees remind us of our mission. Now some may say, "But we're devotees, we're transcendental to Varnashram." Have you heard that before? Have you said that before? Did it make you feel good? Okay, you want to learn how to become transcendental to Varnashram? You engage in pure devotional service to Sri Sri Radha Madhava wholeheartedly, without any reservations, and you spread the Sankirtan movement of Panchatattva far and wide. And you do that continuously. You be transcendental to Varnashram. But because you're a good devotee, you will still give an example by following according to the designations and the specifications of your Varna and Ashram. You will still do that to give an example to others, even though you yourself are not dependent by it. And I told you I will close with a book distribution story. I was in Udupi in front of Krishnamath, one of my favorite places, the seat of Madhavacharya, distributing Prabhupada's books. And it was a pandit dressed in dhoti and chadar, no kurta, big Brahmin thread, big tilak, big sikha, big kanti malas, and he carried a big stack of books, and he had about a dozen disciples with him, and they were moving like only sannyasis usually move, you know, with their, like an army, like a formation. They were moving fast. But being who I am, I stood in front of him and I gave him a small book of Prabhupada. And he kind of looked at me kind of like, "What's the point here, kid? You know, like, is this a joke? What do you want?" And he asked me something that I will not forget. He looked at me and he said, "What is your qualification?" And you know, if somebody asks you that, it's kind of serious. So I was like, "What do you mean? Like, what's my gotra? Or what's my, you know, what's my line? Or how much do I know? Or do you know Sanskrit? Or, you know? So what do you do when you don't know what to say or what to do?" You just have to say a little prayer to Krishna in your heart. And that's why Sankirtan is so nice, because you never know what people will ask you or tell you. So somehow, this, you know, and if it's the heat of the moment, you can't speak long explanations. There's only a few words, the punchline. So I just said, "Gopi Bharta Parakamalayor Dasa Dasa Nudasa." You know, there's this verse, Naham Vipro Narapatir, and so on, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quoting that I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, I'm none of these things. I'm simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis who are serving Krishna. Now I just said the punchline, and because he's a pandit, he knows Sanskrit, he started smiling. And he took out money from his pocket and gave it to me. And he said, good boy, carry on, it's good." And he walked off with Prabhupada's books and all his disciples. So if you want to be transcendental, remember, what is your qualification? What is my qualification? I have no qualification. That is my qualification. Srila Prabhupada said, "I have made your qualification." Prabhupada, by his austerity, by his writing, by his praying, by his preaching, he has created our qualification. Let us be mindful of that. Let us be reminded of that by reading Prabhupada's books, by attending Bhagavatam class, by becoming educated in the movement of Krishna consciousness. And then let us do our own humble seva of carrying forward the light. We're only here for a few afternoons. We'll just carry the light for a few steps, and then somebody else will carry it, like in a relay race. So The Ramayana and the Bhagavatam, they're full of many valuable lessons for life. If we do not feel the sense of urgency, the sense of need, the hunger to hear them, it may take decades. It may take lifetimes. So we're very grateful to be here in Shrida Mayapur, to have this ashram where we can discuss these spiritual topics threadbare and see how they apply for us in our own lives and how we can make a small contribution to bring the light forward in our own small way. And that will be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, because that's what he prayed for, that's what he wished for, and that's what we should pray for and live for. Hare Krishna. We have 7 minutes for questions or reflections. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, my question is on the point, like you were saying, that we should retain responsibility and delegate authority.
Yes.
But sometime, like somebody, or the thought comes to mind that this is my service, I should do it. I should not give up, I should do it. And that's a trap that keeps us holding there and not let this happen, not lose, basically the trap, not lose control.
Srila Prabhupada said, many of my disciples will go to the heavenly planets. Why did he say that? Because if you want to control and enjoy, you go to the heavenly planets. But it's a trap. Kshina punya martya lokam vishanti. That's why we have to read the books and remind ourselves what is our real duty and what is a trap. Otherwise, we'll be stuck in the trap. We just studied Uddhava Gita, King Pururava. He was following that girl Urvashi all the way up to the heavenly planets. It took him a while before he got to his senses, and he started to speak about, you know, why did I waste my time and why didn't I learn my lesson? But when you read Bhagavatam, you're faced with the facts of life. And that's why it's good to have friends also. And if you don't have friends who tell you the truth, you need a wife. She will tell you the truth. And if you still will not be able to hear it, you'll have to come again. Other time around, probably you'll be the wife, she's the husband, and you play the same game again. And after a while, maybe we get it, you know? It's just a matter of time. Other points? Yes, in the back.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much for the class. You made many, many wonderful points. One thing that stuck in my head is the example you gave when Vibhishana came to meet Lord Ramachandra and everyone was thinking differently. And Lord Ramachandra said, you know, you should think what I would want to do. And if we think what Prabhupada would want us to do and what he would like certain things to be done for the situation, it would have such a great effect on a lot of things in our movement.
Thank you. Other questions or comments? Ikshvaku Prabhu, you look very thoughtful. Microphone, otherwise people can't hear you. Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada many times wanted to relinquish his authority and, you know, delegate the responsibilities of this movement, and many times he also complained that, you know, people were not matured enough and there were problems, etc. So what if that situation also repeats and you or whoever it's trying to delegate and you see that the response is not there from those who are meant to take up the responsibility, how to deal with that. I know Prabhupada had only 10 years or 11 years or whatever. So how do you deal with that?
Srila Prabhupada had, as you mentioned, very short amount of time. And still, even in that time, in 1975, he made it very clear what he wanted, how he wanted to empower people, how he wanted, you know, succession and things to be delegated. But when he saw people were not mature, he was forced to carry on management till practically the last year. So what can we do? We can pray to Krishna and see people as future leaders and train them in such a way. Just like when Prabhupada met Howard Wheeler on the street, he didn't see him just as some, you know, English professor. He saw him as the future editor of his books, which he became. And because Prabhupada had that vision, Hayagriva Prabhu became the editor of his books. Prabhupada wanted to create Bhaktivedantas. He was not looking for just some people who would glorify and worship him and give him some food and some money. Prabhupada saw the future leaders of the movement. In each and every one who walked through the door, he treated him like that. That first crazy guy, remember the one who was missing his soap? Prabhupada wrote to his godbrothers, you know, here is a very good boy. I want to send him to India to be trained as a Brahmin. And he, you know, he will become my future. Prabhupada fanned the spark. He saw the potential in everybody. And believe it or not, because he saw the potential in everybody and he fanned that spark, many of them became leaders. We may not have the eyes to see who is going to make it, who is going to excel. So why not treat everybody like they will be the future leaders? But if we say, no, I'm going to keep the cards close to my chest, I'm not going to divulge any secrets to anybody because anybody could take my job, they could take my seat, they could push me out, then things will stay very small, very insecure, and very unproductive, and very uninspiring. But that wasn't Prabhupada's mood. That wasn't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood, who said, Bharata Bhumite Hoyla Manusya Jamajar, Jamma Karikara Paraupakar. You all go out. Huh? You become the teachers. You spread this message. So clearly the directive of our parampara is very clear. And if we, as current juniors, mid-level or seniors, have not been able to make arrangements in our own service or in our area for people to feel secure and to move on in grace, then we should start thinking about it today. Because otherwise Mantara will keep on chewing our ears off and screaming in our hearts, and she will torment us, and she will make our life very difficult. So to hear from Sumantara, from Ram's chariot driver, how to do service and how to carry forward this message, this light of Krishna consciousness. It is a matter of attitude that maybe there will be people who will be bigger and better and greater than I am. And if that's okay with us, then things can grow. And if not, then we will be the bottleneck. We will be the constipation. We will be the block. And we will be washed away by the waves of time. So the choice is ours. The history books are not yet written. They're usually written 50 or 100 years after. This is too fresh. This is too new. But we have the choice whether we want to be remembered as going down as the Mantara Sampradaya or the Sumantara Sampradaya. That's our choice. Do we want to be in the mood of Vibhishan, or we want to be in the mood of Ravan? And for that we need to help each other to bring out the best in us. Because we all have our conditioned nature and our tendencies that can always come up, as we saw in the case of many characters in the Ramayana. So we work forward towards this common goal of making Krishna consciousness the driving force, the spiritual alternative, the spiritual revolutionary movement that Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had in mind by giving people this opportunity and by exemplifying, embodying these teachings. Otherwise, people will start reading these books and then they look at us and then they say, it's not what I read in the book, you know? It's not what I came for. I don't feel the love, as they say, in the Americas. Huh? No, people should feel, yes, there is shelter, there is guidance, and I can surrender. It's possible. Not blindly, not mindlessly, but it's possible to surrender one's heart and one's life to the mission of Guru and Gauranga in a mature way, and to engage others by retaining responsibility and delegating authority. That's the message. Detached leadership does not mean disconnected leadership. It's not a disconnect that the people are aloof. They're not bothered about it. It means they're detached. They do not want to manipulate, control, enjoy, and exploit the subjects. But they want them to flourish. And in this way, it's a symbiotic relationship like father and son, like it is mentioned here, like the parents and the children. The parents want the children to succeed. That's what every parent wants. Want their children to succeed. So in a similar way, if the leaders, and that's us, have the mood that we want anybody who comes here to succeed, they will feel that. And they will succeed. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Thank you for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Rat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanandi.